three.
Like on three or after three?
On three.
On three.
One.
Two.
Two. So on three?
No. Yes.
On three.
On three. Okay. One, two, three.
Welcome to Between Two
with Mike and Sean.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We're live now. We're okay. Recording. So we're going to go with this.
I just got to get my...
You got to get all okay. Squared away. All right. We're here. We're on.
We're back.
Live. Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's kind of a rainy, cool day today, but the rain's good. Grow some grass.
Yeah, well, it's better than where Massini's at.
Yeah, I see
all
that
snow.
Yeah, no, he's getting hammered.
So,
and that's quite a bit further south.
Yeah. What were you up to today?
I had a bunch of just kind of paperwork and stuff that I had to get on top of a bunch of government.
That's right. You were
stuff.
Saying that. Yeah.
So that took a little bit of time. And then I'm kind of keeping an eye on a bear that seems to be kind of harassing our neighbor a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a close neighbor. He's, he's got some years on him. He doesn't move around very well.
I've seen that.
Yeah. He doesn't move very well at all. Like, he ain't running from nothing.
No.
Right. I mean, there's not very good pickings on him, but still he ain't running from it. Anyway, he came and see me late last night and said he was really concerned, said that he had a bear that he thought was getting a little bit too friendly. And like everybody tells us, I mean, we must hear it 50 times a spring that you know, these are the biggest bears. You know, come and see this bear. It's a big bear. Come and see this bear. It's a huge bear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, much in that fashion, he came over and said, look, I've got a bear. He's a big bear. And he's, you know, creating a little bit of havoc at my place. So I went down last night, not expecting to see anything. And you know what? He showed himself, and he's actually a pretty good bear. I think he's got to be, I don't know. I imagine he's going to be better than 6.5 anyway. And so this neighbor, he said that the bear's now gone and even climbed up on his deck, and he's pulling his barbecue off his deck, and he's just kind of raising some hell. So,
really?
Yeah. No. And he's not afraid at all. Like this guy, you know, he kind of puts around in a little Jeep because he can't walk very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll drive right beside him, and this bear just doesn't care. So, so anyway, I might have to go over there and help him out. So I was kind of watching for him a little bit, today just to see kind of what he was up to.
Something bit me.
Ah, was it one of those COVID flies?
No, I think it was a murder hornet. No,
either way, the world's going to hell.
I smashed my finger the other day with a chain, and every once in a while just some
gives it a little zap.
We'll have to get rid of that bugger, eh?
Possibly. I'll kind of watch him for the next couple of days, but actually I took out my son Brock. We went out, spent some time out together. He wants to get a chance to get his first bear, and we've seen five bears, but you know, when it's a first-time hunter and they're going to take a bear, you want it to be the right bear.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
somebody moved in the house.
Yeah, technical difficulties.
But
the alarm went off.
So I've got a plan. I want to build this.
All right.
We need a couple of bears tanned.
Yep.
I want some black bears, some brown bears, and I want to make a comforter.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is get these bears and I'm going to cut it into like 12-inch squares.
Oh,
brown
like
fur, black fur.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And sew them and then sew a backing on it and make a, and then maybe a solid black border around it.
But nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so that could be interesting.
Yeah. And that, well, I thought I'd make a prototype.
Yeah.
Right. And then possibly advertise it in my taxidermy stuff. Right.
Right.
Somebody wanted, lots of people shoot bears and.
Yeah.
What do I do with the hide? And I could show them that and say, hey, you know, bring me so many bears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got all these bears.
That might keep people out there hunting some bears, and we need that.
Yeah. I think it would make a hell of a blanket.
Yeah.
You see them beaver and the lynx and the coyote pelt ones.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a bear one yet.
No.
I'm sure they're out there.
Huh. Yeah. I'd always thought, you know, to make a big pair of batwing chaps, almost like angoras, but make them out of bear. It'd be definitely interesting to be riding colts on that. I think the first time you swung up on a colt with some bears wrapped around your legs, that it might get things fairly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I haven't done it yet. I'd like to get out there and do it. So, but you know,
cool.
We got to get out there and find some bears first.
Yeah.
It's been kind of.
So I need equal brown to black bears though.
But
so.
We can do that here. You know, we're
I know.
In the right area.
Yeah.
We've got some great color bears out here. We've seen some incredible black bears, but already this year we've seen some really pretty color bears out there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. I seen one at work the other day. It was nice. He was only about a 5.5 footer, but
yeah,
real friendly. We drove right up to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Then I seen a sow with three little cubs.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, no, we've seen quite a few bears already this year, but it's a little bit slower. Like the grass, once you get out a little ways, we still got some snow out there in the back country. The grass is just taking a while to come up. We're now starting to see some movement. Yesterday was five bears, which isn't bad, but we typically see more bears than that if we're spending all day out there.
Yeah, well, I usually go by, like when I typically start hunting bears is when I start seeing the leaves come out downtown.
Right.
When the leaves start popping out downtown is usually when you start, you know you're going to go out and see bears. Right? Yes. You can go out and see bears before that.
Right.
But a lot of times, you know, you don't have to go far and it's winter again. You know?
Absolutely. No, we were running into that just yesterday. Yeah. We had snow all around us and we still seen bears, like I said, but it is a bit drier. They're not out as heavy, but it is early.
Mm-hmm.
It is early. I haven't seen a chipmunk. I mean, I usually use that as a bit of a sign that bears are out and running around is if you see chipmunks.
See chipmunks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen one yet, but, I'm sure they are.
Cool. There was one, a chipmunk under the pop machine at work the other day.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bears must be out.
Yeah.
Just as long as there's not a bear under the pop machine. So anyway, one of the things that we should just kind of touch base on is this whole virus thing and how it's affecting everybody and what we're seeing kind of come down the pipe as far as hunting's concerned. And surviving this alone has just been a pain in the butt.
It's been a crazy, crazy time. You know, it's crazy as hell.
It is. Yeah. And it is weird. You almost kind of get used to it. You know, you almost sort of kind of get used to all this social distancing. Of course, we keep pretty isolated and remote. We live up in a fairly, a fairly quiet part of the province anyway. We don't have a huge population here and we kind of keep to ourselves anyway. And it's pretty quiet up here as far as, reported cases. But, you still find yourself being somewhat careful. I do hear that they're going to start looking at possibly removing some of the kind of the strict restrictions, like 60% occupancy in restaurants and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now there's some talk possibly of the border as early as around the 21st of May. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I'm hearing some noise about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously with us and our bear hunts, those took a big crap when we got hit with this. I mean, the border closure alone.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, hunters aren't coming across. And then even if we've got, which very rarely happens, but if we did have somebody that within the province wanted to hunt, well, now we got to go, well, that's just great. But now we're going to be sharing space with somebody we don't know anything about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's really kind of put a damper on the hunting season, although it allows us to get out there and spend some time, which never happens. So that's kind of good. But we're yet to see what this is going to mean in the fall.
Yeah, no, it's if this carries through till the fall, yeah.
Yeah, my concern is that we're going to see it kind of quieten down a little bit during the summer months, I'm guessing. But, I mean, nobody gets a flu shot in the spring.
Yeah.
The fall seems to be the time when the flu really kind of starts to take hold and the kids going back to school and all that sort of thing. So my concern is that we're going to see a flare up again in the fall. And if that's the case, that could have a huge effect on us again. Like that could really put a damper on our fall hunts as far as it goes to our guided hunting.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're harder to reschedule.
Much harder, much harder. It's way different than just the bear hunts. The challenge is even if you are bringing people up here, I mean, you got to hope that everybody's kind of, not packing anything with them. No surprises when they get up here because we don't need to be spreading that around either.
No, yeah. And we do actually come in contact with a lot of people. Like we're back and forth to the airport.
Absolutely.
And the clients are at all kinds of airports just to get here, especially if they're, coming from
anywhere
out of country,
Yeah.
Whatever, across the
yeah Whether you know. They're coming from Europe or the U.S., yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's what I was trying to. You know, that other country.
You know, if they fly across that big pond, that big puddle of water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, yeah, it could be anywhere. And you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But even just locally here, just in our daily lives, it's funny that you do kind of just kind of get used to that new normal, whatever that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about all the food crisis, yeah, talk, right? Yeah,
no, that's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah, when, you know, they're talking about euthanizing all these pigs at these processing, you know, or not at the processing plants, but the farms, because the processing
because they
plants
can't get
are
there.
Down, yeah. You know, that's going to have a huge trickle effect.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I guess it's going to. I think we're going to see a bump in it. My guess is with a lot of these animals is that they're ready for process, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically factory farming. So the next group is going to come up behind them, and the
what's going on, right? Yes. They need to make room for the next group
for the
just
next
to
group
keep going,
and the next
right?
group. That's right. That's right. And definitely, I mean, it seems very wasteful to just be putting these animals down and throwing them in a pit or whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, whether we're talking, you know, pigs or you know, Kraft dinner, mm-hmm. like any of those supply chains, if they really start to get broken,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm really concerned about that as well. We're obviously in a different, as far as it goes to, you know, our meat and our protein, I think we're going to be fine. But even just the thought of having that supply chain broke to the fact that, you know, you can't go in and buy a bag of rice,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. that could be a concern. But I just can't see it going that far. Like
we're gonna double up on our garden this year and
yeah.
and make sure the pantry's right full by fall, and you know, or well, that's the talk. We're gonna
yeah.
try, you know.
Yeah.
Got big dreams of it here.
Yeah, and you know, I'm hearing a little bit, and I'm sure it's happening everywhere in North America, anywhere you can hunt. I've heard of a lot of people now that are, you know, they kind of got, you know, let out of their pants. They want to get out there. They want to start filling freezers. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's, I understand that. And that's something that's probably natural and is going to happen. My concern is, you know, whether or not, what sort of impact that's going to have on our wildlife.
Yeah. Well, the more hunter numbers, that's great for hunting and stuff like that.
As long as we have the resource.
But we need the resource management.
Yes. Yes, and I mean, right? We both agree that our wildlife management in the province has just shit the bed for so many years.
It's so mismanaged now.
It's a mess.
What happens when we have, you know...
Exactly.
Who knows how many more hunters.
So we've talked about the limited entry. We see that there's a big change in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then anywhere that we're going to have a kind of a general open season, I think it's going to see possibly increased pressure and, you know, probably not something that's going to, you know, completely break the bank this year or anything. But, you know, if this does start to, you know, kind of pick up those hunter numbers, which is great, you know, I'd sure like to see the province, you know, pull up their pants and start looking after our wildlife,
mm-hmm.
start doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it comes down to that friggin' spraying shit, like, stop that shit. You got to quit spraying that herbicide.
We should get him back on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. A bit of James.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, get a bit of an update. But just that type of management, just doing things to try and help the wildlife out there, I think is really important. So hunter numbers are always great, and we're glad to see the increase, because I think that's important.
You know what annoys me, though, is like you see hunters come to an area, you know, they just want to come get their moose or their deer or whatever.
Yeah.
After that, they don't give the region or the area another thought, right?
Yeah. I mean, that happens, and we see that with some people. I don't think that would be the majority of them. I would like to believe that the majority of them see this all as our backyard, British Columbia, that as a whole, you mm-hmm. know, whether or not they're coming down or coming up from the Lower Mainland or central British Columbia or whatever. I would like to think that everybody sees this is our, all of our backyard, and that we want to look after it. I have witnessed, you know, that it's not always the case, whether mm-hmm. it's just messy camps mm-hmm. or whether it's, you know, people just showing up and just kind of mistreating the area. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully that, you know, that isn't on the increase.
You know what is on the increase?
What is on the increase?
people dumping out in the bush.
I've seen that.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That drives me nuts.
What's going on with that shit?
Because the garbage, the landfills are running wonky hours.
Oh, due to this, the vid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Because I noticed that too. I'm like, what the hell? Like, there was one that dumped out there just on that Milburn Mountain Road there, like just where you go up there. Mm-hmm. Right on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Just a big pile of crap somebody dumped out. How far are they away from the dump? They're not that far.
Yeah, another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
You
drive all the way out there to dump that. Yeah. You could just go to the town dump.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But so there's funny hours with their landfills. So their people
are feeling
the need to just dump.
I went into the town landfill the other day.
Yeah.
And I kept passing people on the way out here with...
come and load it up.
Garbage. And I'm like, I wonder if the garbage dump's closed. So I pulled over and I Googled it. And the website said, open from 8 till 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? So I, okay, whatever. I truck her up there, get up there with the other six people turning around at the gate.
The locked gate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up turning around, driving all the way out to the one out by you.
Yeah.
Just to get, because I needed to get the load of stuff off my truck.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody else was driving all the way from town out there, filling up them bins.
Yeah. They just have to be emptied anyway.
They get hauled to town anyways. But, you know, if you drive all the way out there and that one's closed.
Yeah. Well, then on the way back, you're probably going to find a logging road.
That's what they're doing. Whipping up a logging road.
Right.
Dumping it out.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
I kind of got off topic there, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways.
But it's all kind of...
Don't dump your garbage in the bush.
No, don't do that. It's a bad thing. But it is all kind of wrapped around, you know, the world that we're living today, mm-hmm. you know, with this virus and everything's changing things a bit.
So what about like wood waste? You know, is that acceptable? Say you had a truckload of branches.
Oh,
like, I don't mean like freaking bags of leaves, you know.
Yeah.
I guess if you dumped the leaves out and took the bags.
Right.
Right. I don't know. Is that. Well, I seen a post there on Facebook, somebody bitching somebody out for dumping some old stumps off on the end of a road there.
Well, right? I mean, as long as you're not throwing them in somebody's driveway, I think some stumps aren't that big of a deal. But
it
is a bit of an eyesore because you can tell they don't belong there.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know.
I was kind of like, I don't know. Am I good with that or am I not good with that? You know, as long as there's not a bunch of, you know, stuff that's...
Yeah, nails or shit in the stumps and other shit that's been thrown out. But
it's like when you see somebody dumping out their butcher scraps or something and there's a bunch of rubber gloves and paper towel.
We see that all the time. We see that
all the time. Or another one, they put it on a tarp and they just drag the tarp off the tailgate and drive away. Yeah. That drives me nuts.
Yeah. No, I see that all the time. And what really just gets me is if we're out in the fall and you've seen somebody who was fortunate enough to find an elk or a moose or something, and you got four beer cans, six pairs of gloves, mm-hmm. and a couple legs left. And, mm-hmm. you know, thanks a lot, dickheads.
Yeah. Yeah,
not big on that. So if you do that, you're a fucking dickhead. So don't be a dickhead. This whole virus thing, it's a different deal, but hopefully the world we're able to, you know, pick up and things are able to continue on. I'm looking forward to, you know, things slowing down hopefully for this summer. And like I said, I'd like to not see it ramp up in the fall. I'm guessing it's going to, but maybe it'd be nice to get just that breather during the summer where people can kind of get out and move around a little bit more.
Yeah. 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 No, it's, I'm looking forward to getting out and doing some stuff
here. One of the other things that's kind of in the news right now, I think anybody that knows anything about Canada knows that we're going into this whole new phase of kind of prohibited weapons and gun control.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
Yeah, so we, of course, anybody who doesn't know, we had a terrible shooting, mass shooting there and in Nova Scotia, and that is all bad and horrible, and we feel bad for anybody involved. But definitely... what's been coming down the pipe at us now with these new gun laws. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like there was a little bit of an open wound, and by a little bit, I don't mean to lessen what had happened, but mm-hmm. there was like an open wound and they took a Band-Aid and they stuck it on there. And when they go to rip that Band-Aid back, it's going to be a hell of a mess under there.
Mm, yeah.
This is just It's terrible. I mean, it might make people in the cities feel kind of warm and fuzzy that our fearless leader, you know, actually stood up and took some sort of a stance. I don't know. I mean, it's a very odd time to me. With everything that the country's already dealing with, and I understand people were waiting for him to do something. I just don't think it was the right thing at all.
So the one thing that I have to say about the whole thing is the shooting in Nova Scotia, it was illegal, not a legal gun, but illegal weapon.
Right.
So one of the things that people are really frustrated about with our fearless leader is that the 200 and some million billion dollars actually that he's willing to spend on this.
It's 200 billion.
It's a huge,
like, with
number.
A B.
It's a huge number. Yes.
Holy
it's
crap.
200. It's a huge number. So one of
wow.
the things is in our crisis stage that we're in right now, is that we are now looking at, okay, why don't we spend this money on stopping illegal weapons coming into our country rather than taking them from law-abiding citizens that put money into the economy by purchasing their PAL or taking the restricted program that you have to take to have handguns or different restricted weapons that we have to have in this country. Let's talk about that a little bit. Why is it that we're not focusing on the illegal weapons that are causing deaths in our country, but we're worried about the law-abiding citizens?
Well, and I mean, the only thing I can say to that is that what I witness with any of these types of things is that there's kind of a call to action. A lot of the big voting public or the bigger masses in these urban centers, a lot of them are waiting for something. Like, what's this going to mean? We want to watch what he does, how he handles himself, what goes on. And the bottom line is whether or not they're properly educated on whether or not that's going to work. He's doing something. There's some sort of movement there. Obviously, for any of us that have owned firearms and been around firearms, and live in some of these more rural areas, and firearms are an everyday part of our life, we understand that, you know, that what's going on here is not going to solve any problems. But I think ultimately that's what we're going to see. We're going to see this happen. I mean, I don't know right now. I hear that even within Parliament, there's a bit of a fight to see, you know, how this is all going to play out. But I do know it is kind of ridiculous. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know that something as simple as a 12 gauge shotgun could now suddenly be illegal. Is that not the case?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something to do with a choke and a removable, like, basically a wore out shotgun is, it could be illegal. Like, that's
20 millimeters or whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
I wonder how much info Lorne can give us on this.
I think that would be a great idea. And I think he would be a good guy to bring in here. Mm-hmm. And kind of whatever he can share with us, I'm not sure he could share everything and even how much of his opinions, just, you know, due to his position with the RCMP. But it could be really interesting. Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah, because he might have some interesting takes on what this is going to mean. I have heard as well that handguns are quite possibly on the chopping block next. And again, it's ridiculous. You know, for the most of us, the vast, vast, vast majority of us, you know, follow those rules pretty strictly as far as it goes to what we're allowed to do and not to do. And the bottom line is, if I'm a badass criminal, mosucka, I'm not going to listen anyway. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. I'm going to buy a gun from wherever. I'm going to do whatever I want to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's
not
how
worried
it's
about whether or not I got a prohibited or restricted. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it's not going to change the crime rate in our country.
No, in fact, what you will probably see is in some places there'll be an increase in crime. I think that's one thing that we noticed when Canada tried to do their that long gun registry. was that there was quite a few people, especially the old timers, that just didn't really understand it. They just knew there was a lot of paperwork involved. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be illegal. So they had maybe, you know, one duck gun and the old 30-30 or something. And they just said, you know what, we're just going to give these to our grandchildren or what. And suddenly their house was completely empty of it. And we've seen an increase in home invasions.
That's exactly what my grandfather did. You know, the guy fought in World War II.
Yeah.
You know, he jumped out of fucking airplanes.
Yeah.
You know, and when that registry came through, he just said, you know what, screw it. He gave his guns to.
Yeah, exactly.
The kids and.
And just now no defense whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, yeah, I know. And I know lots of old timers that did the same.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. We had people in our family do exactly the same thing. I ended up with a bunch of guns that, that just nobody wanted to deal with. And it did bring to mind like, wow, these guys, that's it. I mean, they always had the old, whatever, 30-30 in the corner or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just in case. And now that's no longer a just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I know that we've so far had it really kind of rammed down our throats. And how many firearms are on that list, that current list? Isn't it like 1,500 or some damn thing? Yeah. Like, that's a lot. And I heard that some of them are just basically hunting firearms.
Some of them, though, have been firearms that have been illegal in this country forever.
Right. So the list looks bigger. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. No anti-aircraft. Like, I'm cracking down on this shit. If you got an anti-aircraft, you got to bring it in. We're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
Missiles,
yeah. Absolutely right. So,
rocket.
Yeah, no, it's going to be crazy. Hopefully, this all gets kind of figured out, and we don't go through what we went through the last time, because they proved it didn't work.
And they just wasted a bunch of money,
tons of money, and they literally took law-abiding citizens and made them criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a mess. Oh,
that's what they're doing now. We're criminals, anyways.
Yes,
we break like 3 laws a day or something, somebody was saying, you know, just doing our everyday things, right? If there's so many freaking laws out there.
Yeah, that's why we need more laws.
Yeah, so.
But you know what? Hopefully, I realize, like I said, this has been jammed down our throats, but it's hopefully there's going to be something done. We've got some people mounting some pretty good fights. They got some great arguments. So I can't wait to see where this all ends up. I just hope that where we could put some really good money and some good resources, I hope we're not wasting it on something like this.
Oh, it'll be it's a waste, you know. No doubt about it.
But yeah. To me, the thing is if you're going to waste our money, try and find where the guns that are coming in and causing crime.
Yeah, I don't even know where they'd begin.
But the thing is would you rather deal with the people that are, you know,
unarmed?
Yeah, exactly. That's
of course.
Exactly. Let's deal with the unarmed people. All the unarmed people. But does that make the criminals less armed?
No.
No, they're more armed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, hopefully we can find our way through this. I mean, we're pretty smart at this point, so hopefully we can figure our way through it. Yeah.
What's next on the hunting list? You can take BE out?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
Amelia and I are going out tomorrow.
Are you?
Well, we're going, we're just going to go out with the horses and go for a ride. Okay. I asked her if we should bring a gun in case we've seen a bear. And she said, yeah.
Cool.
So, but she said, I'm not packing it on my pony. The gun or the bear? So I said, if we get a bear, the pony will have to pack the bear and she can ride with me. So
perfect.
That'll be
a picture.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Huh?
She
said no.
Oh.
But no, we're going for a little daddy-daughter horseback ride.
Cool.
Maybe find some sheds.
Cool.
Go up. We're just going to go up the mountain there.
Yeah.
Do a loop and come back. So
that
sounds
great.
She's pretty excited about that. We've been talking about it for a bit.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, hopefully you get a chance to see something out there.
Yeah. Have you been finding many roads washed out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've definitely had quite a bit of flooding. We had a lot of snow here, and it all left relatively quick, and water table's up still pretty high. And we've ran into quite a few roads that have been washed out as we go. And there's some that are simply not passable.
And they probably won't even fix them.
No. Like even that area that we know is the nursery back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started down that area, and I told them we could kind of do a big loop, and no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, cut right off. There is no going through that. And nothing's marked. You know, nothing out there is marked.
Yeah.
Once you get out to those roads, be careful, be aware, because they can't mark every one of them. So mm-hmm. don't assume that because you're not seeing pylons that that the road's okay. Because this one here, you're not coming back out if you drop into this. So, but no, I'm looking forward to getting out, and we're going to do a bunch of filming. We're going to try. So yeah, we did try and order. What were those? What are they called?
A gimbal.
Gimbals. We, yes.
Ordered two of them actually.
Right. Yeah. So we ordered gimbals. We're going to have them all set up on the phones, and we were really looking forward to this and getting some good filming done, getting some great footage. We want to get some YouTube stuff happening. And, unfortunately, with Amazon, they decided to kind of send their, I don't know what it was, kind of their knockoff version of it. Like, it's not an actual gimbal. It's just like,
I don't even know what
it was.
Yeah,
it's like a selfie stick. It's like a tripod selfie stick or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And yeah. like the cheapest, like cheap the most, ass plastic.
The most plastic. Like, you can't get more plastic than that plastic.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, hopefully we can get those gimbals. We want to do a lot of filming. This year's our year. You know, we get to do some stuff ourselves. We really got to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm. I got to get my bears for my comforter. And we got to make Smokies, and we got to make Slim Jims, and I want to can a bunch of bear meat this year. And
absolutely.
And then we definitely need to get out and do some fishing.
Yes.
Because I want to can a bunch of fish this year.
Okay. Because a lot of the lakes, not all of them, but quite a few of them just in this past week, you know, mm-hmm. we had a pretty good wind come through and moved some ice around a little bit. And what didn't get moved around obviously just sank. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few of the lakes, not the real small ones. We actually went by Fish Lake yesterday, I guess, and she's still frozen yet.
Well, we were going to go ice fishing on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But everybody bailed.
Oh, I see. But yeah, it's
right to the shore.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You can look all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still just kind of tucked away enough that it's not getting.
Oh yeah. No, I think I've been out there May long weekend and it's still iced over.
Wow.
You know?
Well, we've definitely got some little holes that I'm hoping, have already opened up because, it could be some good fishing right mm-hmm. away.
Well, Wayne and Donna said the ice is off the lake over here. The boats are starting to show up. So as soon as that water kind of turns over and it'll be. You know, it's easy enough to go over there. We can go over there in the evenings for a couple hours and get a couple limits. And they're nice fish over there, too.
Nice.
So, yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to getting
it. Can a bunch.
And this, I mean, this year is as much as it's all this craziness around us. This is going to give us hopefully the time to get out and do some of the stuff that we don't usually get to do.
Well, I'm glad you're happy about it.
Well, I mean, I'm just.
I just realized Friday when I was
at
work.
Right.
That was supposed to be my last day at the mine.
Right. So
with this.
So now he's there till now he's there from till what? What did you say? 2045 or something now?
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Probably.
So basically, you know, just to let the listening audience know, the big plan was, of course, with Alpha Dog Outdoors, we were going to be booked up. We were going to be booked solid. Everything is cruising. We're doing very, very well. But this spring bear season was very critical. And that was part of the bigger plan. Mm-hmm. And so when the old Rona kicked those plans in the ass, Sean, unfortunately, is finding himself still at the mine for right now.
For right now.
That could change any moment.
Just me and old Chuck. So, I pass the same old guy in the hallway every day. And how you doing, Chuck? Or how's life, Chuck? Taking forever. Like two ships passing in the night there. Yeah.
So, but hopefully that could change any time. You know, that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah. So,
but
we should talk a little bit about the guide school.
Okay.
Do you want to talk a bit about the guide school?
I'd love to talk about the guide school. What are we going to talk about?
There's any of our four listeners
interested? Hey, I think that went up.
Interested in a guide school.
Yes.
We do that stuff.
We do that stuff. So yes.
Just give us a rundown, a little quick rundown on that. I don't know. I just thought of that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we could do it. I think it'd be easy enough to do with, you know, if you're in Canada.
Let's say things clear up this summer. We could still fit in a guide school,
we
right?
We could.
You know?
We could.
Perfect. Yeah. So
one thing that with the guide training that we've done in the past that was a little bit different than what I've found elsewhere, most guide either schools or training that we've seen in the past has been pretty much your standard basic. We'll teach you a little bit about gear. We'll teach you a little bit about horses, some pretty basic stuff. What we were always really good at was really, really doing well with actual big game guides. Mm-hmm. Like when you went through the training, you learned everything. Mm-hmm. Like you learned everything there was to know, anything that we would expect you to know, as well-schooled guides, that's what you were going to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really set, you know, our training apart from other training that I found. It's not something that our training was not, say, a long weekend thing that you would just come and take part in and you got to ride a horse around a little bit and you learned how to set a tent up. This was a little bit more comprehensive. So I would look forward to doing that again. I think that would be a great thing. You know what? Even for some of these people that are kind of guys, gals that are sitting around now going, geez, I wished I would have learned more. I wished I would learn more about hunting and fishing and just gathering out in the woods, there could be something there. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, this is just something that we know. It's just something that we do. But there's a lot of people out there right now that I'm sure they're just sitting in their apartment somewhere going, damn it. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I learn that stuff? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Mm-hmm. Right here.
Yeah.
Right here. We're here. We're here, but our arms are open. You can't see it, but my arms are open. No, they're not. But they would be. If you came here, they would be.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that hugged.
My either. Arms are crossed.
but you would be accepting.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right. So, yeah, I think there could be something there, whether it's guide training or you know, even just teaching people what it'd be like to be out there.
How to keep your ass alive in the bush.
That's right. It's a whole thing now.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Man, we're onto something here.
We'll start writing some notes down, just like we do our show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What else?
I'm just looking forward to getting out there some more. I don't really have any, the season's looking great. This spring is coming. We've got a lot of plans. We want to, you know, take advantage of this time. And, I want to do a lot of filming. I would really like to kick this whole YouTube thing, up. I'd really like to have some fun doing quite a bit of filming. So just one other thing is we might be going up further kind of up north. We've got some interest in one of the territories that we're looking at selling, guide territories, that is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we might run up kind of more to the end of May, and just kind of show them around a little bit, you know, maybe snoop around for a bear here and there. So I'm going to be doing that as well.
Cool.
Yeah, and getting a chance to get out. I'm really looking forward to getting up to the lake up there and spending some time up there. This wouldn't be that, but it would be close. I would be up there. So
is there whitefish in that lake?
Yeah.
Have you ever caught them whitefish up there?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you catch them?
I would, when I was young, I would use like a little tiny jig, and I would go in probably 10 or 12 feet of water, something like a little tiny white jig, like a little tiny one that would kind of fit in their mouth, and you just kind of slowly, and they just start appearing. Like that's how I caught them. They would just show up, and... They were pretty slow, like they aren't quick to
like
to
ice grab fishing it. Or
no.
In no. a boat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I've never fished for whitefish.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that's how I did it.
What else is in that lake? There's lake trout?
Lake trout, rainbow, kokanee. All the salmon run through there, burbot, sturgeon.
What lake are you talking
about? Stewart uh-huh. Lake.
Stewart
Lake.
Yeah, I know I talked to that native guy. That I picked up.
His yeah.
truck was broke down, and he worked for the research.
Oh yeah,
sturgeon
yeah, yeah.
research
yeah,
thing
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So they net them and tag them and right. release them. Said the biggest one that he seen or worked on was 7 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big fish.
That's pretty big fish.
That's
yeah.
a big fish. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool that they're in there.
Yeah. No, I've heard actually in the spring of the year, right at the mouth of the river, they'll, I think it's the spring where they'll do their, I think they're spring spawners. I think so. I might be wrong. Somehow I think so. That. And where they'll kind of swirl, where you can see those big muddy swirls. And,
oh, yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah. Where, however, whatever breeding dance they do, but yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. But I am looking forward to getting up there and spending some more time. One of my favorite parts of the world to be in.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully we're allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to use any public boat launches or anything, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And like,
are you even allowed to be on the water? I guess you guys should look into that.
I'm not sure. I mean, and I wouldn't blame anybody from a smaller community being very suspicious of anybody showing up. I mean, we could say...
No, I don't mean up there. I just mean...
In general.
In general,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. Anybody in a smaller community, if you're traveling from one place to another, I wouldn't blame anybody for being suspicious right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know enough about all this. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm somebody that's worried that he's not going to make it out of a hospital bed, but I'm just not interested in mm-hmm. in contracting it or getting it and spreading it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
crazy times, man. Crazy times.
I've got so many old, you know, friends that,
yeah,
you know, old Wayne and Donna there, you know, it'd be horrible if they,
no, yeah, we don't need that,
but
no, we don't need that.
So what can we end this, podcast on a positive
note.
Murder Hornets.
Oh, there we go.
That's not positive, but what's going on with Murder Hornets?
I don't know. Like, I just...
Who named them? What's the actual... They're like giant wasps?
Yeah, but I think don't they murder the shit out of honeybees or something? Like, don't they like cut heads off and stuff? Like,
I think they're pretty serious business.
Yeah.
So what's... And they're in BC now?
I guess they are. It's got to be kind of lower mainland stuff. I imagine it's got to be pretty warm for them.
Man, that's crazy. You see a picture of those suckers?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like swallows or some shit with stingers.
And then they're taking all our guns away. Now we got murder hornets and no line of defense.
What's next? Raptors.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna need a freaking loose choke to shoot one of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt. Imagine they fly like hell and
a blunderbuss.
Well, yeah, that's not so much of a positive note, but...
okay, yeah, sorry.
But...
Sidetrack.
But on that note, I guess we should...
Alrighty.
We'll call her quits for tonight.
Okay.
Looking forward to reaching out to you folks again.
We'll have some bloody hands probably by the time
I hope to have some bear stories.
So, okay.
All right, until then...
Stay hard.
Stay hard.
And distant.